So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the friendship and fitness podcast where two best friends and common graders ask each other questions and give each other answers. I'm one half of that podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents, co-creator of the award-winning After Hours, and senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
No, fuck me. You're a senior writer now. Let me hear all about this.
We were just named senior, me and four of my coworkers, Sina Valley, Joanna Rothkopf, Owen Parsons, and Charlie Redd. We were all named senior writer out of recognition of, I guess, time on our show and work that we've done. And it doesn't give me any powers, which is always my first question, is like, great, yes. What can I...
Right.
It doesn't need to be a lot of power.
What achievements have I unlocked?
Yes, something to go to my head. There's a Kids in the Hall sketch that I'm sure you have a better memory for than I do about like a manager calling an assistant manager into an office because he's let the very minuscule amount of power of being assistant manager go to his head so dramatically. And I was like, yes, I feel that. What power can I lord over someone? I need to be able to lord something over someone, and I don't. I don't have any, which is unfortunate, but very wise on their part.
Did you change the handle on your email sign-offs to senior writer?
No, but this is like because I always sign my work emails with something silly like "Love you" or "Stay safe out there, guys." Every email that I send opens with "can't believe it's already whatever month it is" and right. ends with some version of "I love you" or "stay safe out there, guys."
Yeah, that's perfect. Good branding. Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Quick Question. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/QQ. Start living a better life today.
Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Skillshare empowers you. It's an online learning community that offers membership with so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get a 1 month free trial.
We'd like to thank Honey for sponsoring this episode. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where Honey comes in. It's a free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically applies the best one available at checkout. Go to joinhoney.com/QQ.
And this is, perhaps too vulnerable to admit, but like the day that we found out about these title bumps, we're all like, it's comedy writers. So like every celebration amongst ourselves is like winking and cynical in some way, because we're all too cool for school. And even when we're talking to our coworkers who are not senior writers, are just staff writers, civilians, they might as well be. Even that's like a celebration couched in layers and layers of very healthy irony and detachment. But then like privately, I'm texting one of my coworkers, and I'm like, did you, so are you going to change your Twitter bio? Like when the season starts, or are you not going to change it, or like what? And they're just like, I think I'm going to change it now. It's like, okay, let's both do it now. And we both simultaneously changed our Twitter bios, because like it is a thing that I'm super proud of. And I called my parents, because that's the best audience for like an achievement like this, you know, like
of course,
your coworkers are going to give you shit, and they should. But
your mom is going to say, what took them so long?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's been exciting. It's been huge for moms and dads. It's going to show up in the credits. It's going to be on my resume, man, forever. And it's just, it's a thing that I genuinely didn't see coming.
So that's exciting. And honestly, I mean, this is a little bit of your mom and me here, Dan, but, you do think they realize how lucky they are to have you, right? Like at this point, they know. At this point, they must realize, oh, we got a really good one.
Oh, I have no idea.
The senior writer thinks they should suggest that. But I want more. I want at some point for like John or the other one, Henry.
Tim
Henry. I want them to sit down with you and be like, hey, we really, like, you're bringing it your all. And we really appreciate everything that you're doing for us, and that you'd even stay at this show for this long. Like something that would acknowledge that we need you.
Well, I don't think they'll say we need you, because that's like terrible for contract negotiations.
Yes.
You can't play your hand that poorly. But I think the version of that they're comfortable with and I'm comfortable with is just like the mutual expectation that I'm going to perform this job well, I think is their, the highest compliment they can give is like, yeah, you can do this, at times very difficult job and at times in stressful situations with short deadlines. The fact that they trust me with it is the highest compliment they can give me. Here's the thing that I'm finding 2022. I don't know what it is about me. I'm just fucking simping all over the place. I'm just such a work simp. I can't help it. I don't know what to do about it.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Like, that's how you keep a job. Like, it doesn't mean you're a simp. It just means like, no, you're a good employee. That's fine. It's okay to be a good employee. It's okay to like want to do your best for somebody.
I know, but culture keeps coming up with new words to describe things that I do, pejoratively.
It's not a great time to be someone like you. It's true. That's so exciting, though, Dan, senior writer. God, such a nice ring to it.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. I'm thrilled. Should we get into the show?
I guess so. I spent my load there.
I mentioned up top and you laughed about it, that this was a fitness and friendship podcast.
Yeah. I got excited about the fitness portion because I've got some fitness news for you coming up.
Oh, good.
But is there specifically something you want to talk about fitness related?
I do. Yeah. It's less of a question and more of a story of a thing that happened to me recently that is all my own doing. I'm in a new town, and I signed up for Retro Fitness. I think we talked about before. I was looking for a gym. I signed up for one. It's fine for like if I need a place with a treadmill or I want to do lots and lots of big weights, which I almost never do, but I like to throw it in every once in a while. I have the resource of a gym to go to that's 2.5 miles away from where I'm living, so it's fine.
Perfect run.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like being in gyms, and this one especially is like, it's an affordable public gym with people who don't wear masks and spit on the floor. I don't know what else to say. It's not my favorite thing on the planet. So I tried to diversify my workouts, also because I just get bored in gyms. So like I do classes on Men's Health Fitness app that I like a whole lot. And I do like a bunch of other stuff that I just know from other classes that I've taken just from memory. But I still wanted to like once a week do a few different things. When I was living in New York, I would do kickboxing once a week and rock climbing at the indoor rock gym once a week just to like change things up. So I was looking for something like that here. I found a kickboxing gym and I called them and I was like, hey, I want to start taking some classes. I don't want to like just one-on-one box, but like, I'm assuming you have classes that like some integration of kickboxing and cardio, which is a lot of these kickboxing yes. gyms do.
Or I can also just duck into a crowd and I am not the focus of the attention.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, we have those. And they gave me the schedule and I was like, great, what can you tell me about these classes? And they were describing them. And I said, oh, so it's sort of like a HIIT class. And when I say HIIT,
high intensity
interval training.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, I would describe like, Orange Theory is a type of HIIT class. Anything where it's like there's generally a lot of cardio. You're not using heavy weights. There's just a lot of changing your workouts and using light weights and just like you're sweating and it's like near constant work for about an hour.
Can I interject for a second here, Dan? You asked a place that specializes in hitting if they have any HIIT classes.
Yes.
Okay, go on.
But I would understand if I said HIIT class, I'm going to a kickboxing gym to take a HIIT class. It's reasonable, I think, for most people to think I meant like a punching and kicking thing.
Yeah.
But this gym, this professional gym, they said, No, you won't be doing like hitting or anything. It's like a group fitness class. And I was like, okay, so this should have been a flag that the professional didn't know what a hit class was, but okay. It wasn't. And then I was like, all right, so there's a class tomorrow morning. I'll go tomorrow morning. And then I show up there at 8 or 9 a.m., whatever it was. And there's two people in there and it's locked. And then the guy comes out and I was like, hey, can I take a class? He's like, there's no class today. I'm like, all right. The website said there was, and the woman on the phone yesterday said there was, but I'll just go fuck myself. And then the woman from the gym called me a few days later. And she was like, hey, you said you're going to take classes. Did you do it? I was like, no, I tried. And they said they weren't doing classes on Friday. She's like, oh, who told you that? I was like, some guy. I don't know. The man at the gym said they weren't doing classes. And then I called the Monday after that because it was Martin Luther King Day. And I wanted to see if you were doing any classes. And I assumed you guys were closed because I called twice and no one picked up. She's like, no, we were open.
What?
Okay. Well,
what is this place?
I've given you guys a couple shots now. And she's like, no, we come take a class. I was like, all right, my Thursday morning is open. It says on your website you guys are doing a class. And she was, or no, I said, do you guys have a class Thursday morning? And she said, no. And then I said, your website says you have a class. And she checked the website. She goes, oh, then, yep, we have a class. I was like, okay, I'm not going to come if I'm the only one. And she was like, you won't be. And like, to this gym's credit, I wasn't. There were three other people there. But man, when I tell you that this class is like, if you had just started working out and you had just been going to classes at a gym for 2 months, and then you showed up one day and the teacher wasn't there, and then so you decided to teach the class. That's really what it felt like. Our instructor was very clearly making things up as she went along, and there were four stations, and like it's still an hour where you're still doing things. So like I worked up a sweat, and if you're doing some kind of active workout for an hour, it's not time wasted. So like there are four stations and there's a TRX ropes, bands, whatever they're called at each station. And she was like, in this one, you do this. And then this one is this, three is this, four is this. And you guys, you each start at one, cause there was four of us, and you're going to rotate around and you're all going to do it. And one of the women in the group was like, how long are the rounds? She's like, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm like, okay.
You don't know.
Well, that information is actually helpful to me for pacing, but I'll just like, I'll time it on my watch and find out how there's, I don't understand the physical benefit of keeping us in the dark on how long rounds are. So I'm just going to like time it myself. So we're doing these workouts. And one of the things that makes me nervous is one of the reasons that I specifically want to take classes with a person is for safety. I can do anything I want in a gym, and I could do as many classes on an app as I have time for, but I'm 36 years old, and form is like more important to me than anything right now, because I don't want to do anything that's going to do any real damage. And like, class time or one-on-one time is the only time that someone is checking my form. This person is just not. And so we're doing this stuff, and I'm like, I feel like I might have to walk out of this class if something starts to hurt, because this might actually do more harm than good. So that's one additional flag, is that no one's checking form. The only, sometimes she will say, fix your feet if my feet were wrong. And I was like, oh man, please say more. She was like, fix your feet. All right. Another strange thing that happened in the class is we did one of our rotations, and she sent a woman to like a fifth TRX station. And the woman was like, aren't I supposed to go to number one? And the trainer was like stared for a long time. And was like, no, there's a fifth one. There was always a fifth one. I just didn't tell you all before because you were standing at the other four stations, but there's a fifth one. There's been there the whole time. And like, we're all pausing our workouts now for this meltdown. Like, and she teaches us the fifth station. They're like, all right, I guess there's five stations now. And like, we'll all just take this to our graves that there was always five stations, and it's our fault for not knowing that. So we complete this circuit, and there's a couple more, either TRX or medicine ball related workouts that we do. Again, made up as we go along, where it's like, station number one, you're doing medicine ball floor slams, where you slam it on the ground and catch it, whatever. Number two, you guys are doing floor slams with a jump. Okay.
Hang on a second.
Number three.
Do you know anything other than a floor slam,
number
lady?
Number three, side-to-side floor slams. Okay. And then number four, she was trying to do this around-the-world floor slam where you take the medicine ball. By the way, at no point did she, like, say, like, relatively what weight you should be using.
Right.
I've done a lot of these classes before.
A where, crucial
like,
point.
Yeah. If you're doing like a class with dumbbells, they'll be like, guys, we want you on a 10 or an 8. And girl and ladies, we want you on an 8 or a 5. Like they give you these rough guidelines so you at least can mentally know like the area. It's all going to be down to your own experience and fitness level, of course. But like, okay, if someone tells me we want the men to have 10-pound dumbbells, I know what that means.
It also gives you a good indication of like you do your first set with it and you're like, ooh, that was rough. And you're not going to drop all the way down to like, if you started at a 10, you're not going to drop down to a 5. You're like, oh no, she gave the range of 8 to 10. I'll go down to 8.
Yeah.
Like, you know now how far you're supposed to drop if things don't go well.
Right. But this was just grab a medicine ball and then leave it at your station. So I'm just like moving from like 6 to 8 to 12-pound medicine balls, depending on what someone fucking grabbed. And station four, once again, she's like trying to do a different variation on the floor slam where you slam it and then wrap it around your head and slam it on the other side. And she kept confusing herself and like still ending up slamming it on the left side over and over
Perfect.
Again.
And I then love her.
One of the other people, I think the same woman who asked like, wait, are you sure after 3, I shouldn't go to 4? I should go to 5. The same woman who asked her that is like, No. Here's how you do it. This is the way to switch it. Switch your hands so you get it the way that you want it. And the instructor was like clearly getting tense about being undermined in this class. And the woman was like, "I'm sorry. I'm that must be bothering you. I'm sorry. I won't say anything else." And the instructor was like, "Nope, she messed it up. We're not doing that anymore. Now we're doing sit-ups."
Whoa!
and you throw the medicine ball in the air, like completely threw it out, blamed the woman, and created a new workout for us.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And we did all that. It was one of the weirder and kookier workouts I've ever seen. And like our instructor, two other things that I feel like I should mention. Our instructor, jeans and a hoodie, was one thing. And the other thing was there was no warm up at all. I've never been to a workout class in my entire life that didn't have like, all right, we're going to do jumping jacks or something to before you get into whatever the set is. There's like a minute or two of like some basic loosen up stuff, but we just went right into the TRX circuits.
Yeah, there's no warm up.
No,
this is amazing.
Like, I don't. If not everybody warms up before a workout, whatever. That's up to you. If you're gonna, there's no law against it. But it's like, it's one of the things that I expect of a class because I don't always warm up. I was like, class, it's guaranteed. I'm going to do some warming up and I'm going to do some cooling down because they know what they're doing more than I do. No warm up and no cool down. And the only other final weird thing about this class is the instructor really liked me doing this medicine ball slam when we were doing the workout because it was like to the music. That's what she wanted me to hit. You know, we're listening to fun workout music and I'm slamming the ball to the beat. And she was like standing in front of me and cheering for me and like, you know, doing like good coach stuff at that point. And it did make it fun. I was smiling. I was having a good time and like getting amped, slamming this medicine ball in one of the three variations on medicine ball slam. And we high five after it. Good moment. And then at the end of class, she was like, hey, can I film you?
Oh, God.
And I said, sure.
Because no, Daniel.
You don't understand how rare it is for me in a fitness setting for someone to be like, I want to capture this in a positive way. That never happens for me.
This is not a woman who's like whose sizzle reel you want to be a part of.
And that's the other thing that I, crucially, I should have said, what is this for? And I didn't. And so now I don't know what it was for. Because I went to, like, the Instagram account of the gym. There's been no posts on it. Not even, like, not a video of me. It's just a dead account. They've never posted anything. So she just has this video now. And it was a funny and silly, strange thing where, like, the whole workout is done. And I'm sweating because you're going to sweat doing this stuff, as I said. And we get to, all right, we're all going to leave now. And then she says, can I film you? And she puts the same song on. She, like, recreates the magic from the thing and, like, stands and cheers for me again and has one of the other people film it. And
there's another person involved in this? Yes, it's not even her film. Damn. No.
I'm slamming this stuff down while she, like, cheers me on, recreating the magic. And then she turns to the person filming. She's like, did you get it? He goes, no, someone tried to call you while I was filming, and so it stopped filming. So we have to do it again. So not only is this whole thing, like, silly, I'm also fucking exhausted from slamming this medicine ball now by myself while people are, like, shuffling out of this class. I'm like, okay, all right, I guess I'll
dance again, monkey.
I'll do it again, yeah.
Okay, this is deeply uncomfortable. I didn't realize, like, it was a fun, silly story until everyone else left and you're alone with two people who are like, let us film you. Hey, do you consider yourself a happy person? What is getting in the way of that happiness if you are not? If you thought of yourself, I don't know, or no, or I think so, then there must be something that's getting in your way. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Nobody is too good for therapy, my friend. Even if you consider yourself happy, therapy can still help. You connect in a safe and private online environment, so it's convenient. You can start communicating in under 48 hours, so it's quick, and all without ever having to leave your chair at home and go somewhere. So that's convenient again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need to. It's not always going to be a match. That's just the way it is. BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. BetterHelp also offers a broad range of expertise, and some of the stuff, hey, it might not even be available where you live if you were to try and go to a brick and mortar. Is that what they call physical therapy? Is that what they call therapy? Places. Therapists. Is that what they call therapists? Shops? Boutiques? Brick and mortar? Anyway, everything you share at BetterHelp is confidential. It's convenient, professional, and it's affordable, and you'll get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions and send a message to your counselor anytime you need to. And these are licensed professionals in a large array of areas. You can talk to professional counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, family conflicts, anger, grief, self-esteem issues, gender identity, trauma, etc., etc., etc. So start living your happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/QQ. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/QQ for 10% off your first month. Thanks, BetterHelp.
You guys know how much I love learning. I talked about it this entire episode. I love learning stuff. And if I didn't talk about it this episode, I talked about it in another episode. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Skillshare can help you make 2022 a year of new learning, growth, and connection through creativity. Skillshare's got a lot of classes. Whether you're a dabbler or a pro, a hobbyist, or a master, you're creative. Discover what you can make with classes for every skill level. You want to be a gardener like Soren? Take a class on indoor gardening. You want to be a YouTuber? You want to be an Instagram photographer like I also want to be? You can take classes on that too. Experience real improvement with hands-on projects and classes designed for real life. I have been taking a class by this guy named Thomas Frank. It's Productivity for Creatives. Build a system that brings out your best. I'm a creative person and I love systems. I love routines, and this class really helped me create a space, like a physical space, in my home that is more conducive to creativity and the way that my brain works to be funny. So you can do it. Take this class, Productivity for Creatives. Build a system that brings out your best with your teacher, Thomas Frank. It is genuinely one of the weirder, and I mean that in the best possible way, classes that you could take as a creative. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/QQ and get a 1 month free trial. That's 1 month free at Skillshare.com/QQ. I think my favorite, the best part of it is the epilogue is no one from that gym has ever called me again. I'm sure they like the one woman who kept trying to get me to go to the gym must have talked to this woman who held the class and been like, yeah, he's not coming back. There's no way.
I honestly think it's the same woman. I think the woman who you called and you were like, hey, there should be a class on Thursday. She was like, oh, and she just started like pulling at her collar and is like, I gotta lead a class now. It's deeply uncomfortable. But I have some questions.
Sure.
First of all, best case scenario, that was for her own private use, that this never sees the light of day, and for some like horny reason for her that she wanted it. Because like that's great. That's a loose end that's tied up and it's fine. But the muse, I'm very curious about, did she actually have like a mix that she was playing for you guys that she had picked out? Or was it clear that like every once in a while you're getting Spotify ads in the middle of it?
We weren't getting ads, but I don't. I've had better DJs, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. And so she's not like mouthing along to it. Or she's not like, all right, we're going to pick it up here in 20 seconds.
Absolutely not. No.
She didn't know what was coming on that mix.
That's amazing that you think she planned out a mix.
That's why I'm asking.
Before plan, like clearly it's the night before the class and she has time for one thing. It's definitely not coming up with the moves.
It's so generous of you to assume that she had a whole night in which to play on this. I also want to know what, like, you have a gym that's like playing hard to get with you a little bit in a way that I've never experienced with a place you want to pay to use. Mm-hmm. But like, did you ever find out what happened that first day and who that guy was and like why the gym was locked, or like just some dude came out and was like, this isn't even a gym, you can't be here?
No, I my best guess is that they must not see a lot of people walking into their classes. Like I imagine the three other people who are in my class take that class somewhat regularly, and the gym almost never has to answer to the schedule that actually exists on the website for people like me who just want to show up and start taking, like, audit a class and see if I want to join that gym for any membership tier. I think they probably have been open as a gym long enough that they know, even if the website says we have a class on Friday, no one ever takes it. So it's safe to assume there's no class. And I think the guys in the gym was like, one of the trainers who works there working one-on-one with a person, because normally Friday mornings are free. So both of our truths were valid, where I'm like, hey, the website says there's a class here. And meanwhile, his truth is, I've been coming here every Friday morning for months, and there's never been a class here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Is there a ring there?
No.
This is a kickboxing gym, right?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Where's the kickboxing happening? Did you see any of it? Was there evidence of it?
There's a whole like extra room with a bunch of punching bags.
Okay.
And there's like speed bags and stuff around.
All right. And then was there other gym equipment that you could have used? Like if you wanted to go back there and be like, I'm just not even going to bother with the classes, I will just work on my own.
Like not machines, but like plenty of benches and free weights.
God, I want to know so bad where all that footage is.
It's strange to me because, like, when I was doing HIIT classes at my kickboxing gym, kickboxing was a part of it. Like, you're still doing, like, jump rope and running and push-ups and stuff and a bunch of other things to switch up what you're doing. But also, you're doing a couple of, like, I would say the centerpiece of it is the regular 3-minute rounds where you're learning different punch and kick combinations on the bag. And then you break that up with the other cardio stuff. And this was just TRX and medicine ball workout.
That's so bizarre. And certainly there are muscle groups that you're going to be training. When you go to a kickboxing gym, you're like, well, there are specific muscles that are more advantageous to have attuned to kickboxing. And like, that's really what you focus on. And it doesn't sound like that's what you're doing at all. It's just sort of like a general, like, let's just shed a few pounds today. Let's see what we got going.
Yeah. It really, the vibe is amazing. Very much like me walking into a gym for one of the first times and being like, well, I can't do anything wrong. As long as I'm moving something heavy.
Right.
It's a workout.
I know that feeling. Were you sore the next day?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay.
I was more sore my first scuba class. I've been taking scuba classes, as you know.
Yeah. And I do want to hear about that as well.
That's big leg work. And as much as I run a whole lot, it's different work to just kick your legs the whole time.
Oh, I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
So you've got big fins on your feet because you got to jump in the water backwards.
Yeah.
And everything. Okay. So it's a lot of work to be down there?
A little. It's more work on my legs and I guess my hips than I normally put on them. Because they don't want you to bend your knees and they don't want you to use your arms. They want your arms in front of you or behind you. And you're just doing long strides with your legs.
Yeah.
Well, and you're getting in and out. You've got weight on you. You've got a tank and you've got little weights in your pockets.
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. I guess it's also a way that you'd be using your legs that you're just not accustomed to at all.
Yeah.
And these muscle groups that are like, oh, we have a job now. They're on a smoke break and they just got to put down their cigarettes real quick. Okay. All right. We got this.
Yeah. They also, I've gone my whole life being someone who can not drown. And that the big secret is that's the beginning and ending of my swimming abilities. And this, after you do, cause it's all in a pool. And after you do your lessons that you're learning on what to do when you're scuba diving, you take all of your gear off and you do 4 laps of swimming. And they're like, doesn't matter. You know, you can doggy paddle. You can whatever stroke you're comfortable with. Take as much time as you want. You're doing 4 laps swimming. And Soren, buddy, that's easily the most swimming I've ever fucking done in my life is on a Sunday morning at this gym being like, oh, and you're gonna watch us do it? Oh no. None of these are gonna look good. They're all gonna look bad. And I'm gonna do one of them for a while where I'm doing what I think people do when they're swimming with their arms over their heads and popping their head out every once in a while to breathe. I'm going to do what I think that looks like. You're going to watch me figure that out for the first time in my life.
Yeah. you doing that. No, that wasn't it. That wasn't
I've only ever seen it on TV. And I'm like, I don't think Michael Phelps swallows as much water as I'm doing when I'm doing an impression of him.
I don't, did I ever tell you the story of when I was in Minnesota and I almost drowned my son in me?
No.
Okay. I consider myself a strong swimmer. I do have a good stroke because I was on a swim team for a very long time as a child. And I know what I'm doing. I know that when I have somebody on my back, I'm not going to do freestyle. When I have him hanging on to me, I'm going to do breaststroke so that both of our heads are above the water the entire time. And there's a little dock out in the middle of just about every lake there is in Minnesota. And it's just like this. I don't know who it belongs to, but it's tethered to the ground out in the middle and you can go swim out to it and it just kind of floats around out there. And I was like, oh, that one, I'll swim my son out there and we can hang out on it. I'm not as strong a swimmer as I anticipated, I guess, or this thing was just so far away, but I'm swimming for a while and it doesn't feel like it's getting any closer. I'm getting a little tired and maybe my son can read my body language because he starts to tighten his grip and sort of starts to rise up, put his chest up higher on my head. So now I'm sinking down a little bit more and I was like, I should turn back. And I look back at the shore and I'm actually closer now to just closer to the dock than I am to the shore. I'm like, it wouldn't make sense to turn back. I have to go to the dock and it's really trying hard not to panic as I'm just running out of gas. And it's becoming clear to me, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
And so I'm just I got to make it. I have to make it. I have no choice. And so I get out to it finally. And the ladder's on the other side of it. So I kind of crawl around and I'm completely gassed, ready to throw up basically. And I start crawling up the ladder and he's still holding onto my back. But obviously his body weight is a whole lot more in the air than it is in the water. So his arms can't hold on my neck anymore. And he just slips off of me into the water as I've crawled up onto this dock. And I'm like, oh God. And he doesn't know how to swim yet. And so he just
he just it's just like yeah. immediately is like a dart down into the water. And I just reach down all the way up to my shoulder and like grab him by an arm and pull him up and get him up. And I thought he would be freaking out, but he got up and he was like, well, that wasn't supposed to happen. I was like, no, it really wasn't. I thought you were going to die. I'm going to think about this moment for a very long time for the rest of my life where I almost killed my son. But yeah, no, you're fine.
Yeah.
It was terrifying and it was a real humbling
experience.
That little
kid thing where they like acknowledge it's scary, but they don't think any harm would ever come to them anyway. So they don't really know. Yeah. It's just like fun, scary.
Yes. And he thinks no harm will come to him because dad is there. Right. Dad will take care of it. And dad was in no condition to be taking care of anything. And I couldn't like let that, I couldn't let him know that or he would have like panicked out there. And I just sat on the dock for a while. I was like, let's go back. And I was like, just, you got to give me like 20 minutes. I need this time. And it was, I remember just lying on that dock thinking, am I old? Did I never know how to swim? What, what is going on here? This is humiliating. I never thought that this day would come where I would not be able to swim to something.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think about that moment a lot now because of what could have gone wrong. I like it play it over in my mind. I'm like, it feels like one of those things where I have to know what I would do in that circumstance in case for whatever reason it arises again. And yeah. So like, I'm like, okay, I turn over onto my back. I grab him around the neck. It's not going to be comfortable for him, but I can keep his head above water as I float on my back. Like going through the whole thing before I'm even allowed to fall asleep.
Yeah. It's, I'm in a tough spot now because I have engineered my life in a way where I would never have to reckon with those kinds of conversations until now. Like I was, yeah. I've been okay not being a good swimmer for a lot of the same reasons that I'm okay not being good at like trigonometry and stuff. Cause I'm just like, well, I don't think that's ever going to come up.
Right.
I'm not going to put myself in a position where life or death depends on me knowing either trigonometry or being able to swim for long periods of time, especially not making it look good. And like, I'm not an adventurous swimmer when I'm at the beach and at pools. I'm just like hanging out in a pool. I've never used a pool for like working out. And so when I'm swimming in front of my 4 scuba instructors and just like taking up a lot of everyone's time, I can't be like, look, I don't need to know how to do this. I don't like swimming. I'm not going to do it because they're like, well, you're at scuba class. Right. There's going to be some swimming involved.
Some mild swimming.
Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. I don't even know if that's something you do. I have never in my life just been like about to check something out, going to go buy it. Oh, this is expensive. Oh boy. I should go look around the internet and see if I can find a coupon code. If that's something you already do, hey, you're much smarter than me. But now you don't have to do it anymore. Honey has put me on the same playing field as you, my friend, because what Honey does is that work for me. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. So if you, as soon as you go in to buy something, Honey automatically finds any coupons from the internet that will help you get your item cheaper. I recently went in and bought a ring polisher. Something I wanted to get for my wife. And I also kind of wanted to get it for myself because apparently it also does night guards. And I thought, ooh, I would like to have that thing crystal clear. And when I bought it, I used Honey and I saved $11. So imagine you're shopping online for your favorite sites. When you get to checkout, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Honey has found it's over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. 11 of those were mine. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I'm glad that you brought up gyms though, Dan, because I, this past week, have walked down, I've descended the marble staircase to work out in the gutter with the fucking riffraff and see what that's like for a while. I think I'm going to be leaving Equinox.
Oh, wait, I thought, so this is, so that story is about you thinking about leaving Equinox?
Well, you haven't, I'm leaving Equinox, but I'm looking for a new gym. Right. And so I've now gone to 3 different gyms to see what it's like in my particular area, because it doesn't make sense anymore. My old gym was near my job. It was very easy because I could drop my kid off at school, go to work. I would just immediately go to the gym before work started, shower, and then I'd be ready for work. And that just doesn't make sense anymore. Now I have, now it's just like, it's me driving half an hour to a gym and then driving home half an hour for no reason other than that that's the gym I used to go to. And Dan, let me tell you, I'm spoiled.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, gyms are bad.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you meant spoiled like everyone's courting the belle of the ball. Like all these gyms are really rolling out the carpet for you.
I know. I am not spoiled for choice. There are a lot of gyms, but none of them are great gyms. I went to one today that I was like, okay, this is a little small, but like, I think I can make this work. There weren't a ton of people there. Everyone was wearing masks. And I was like, this is great. And then this guy walks in flip-flops, kicks him off near these cubbies, doesn't put him in a cubby or anything, just kicks him off and is barefoot throughout the gym the rest of the time that I see him.
Oh no.
And I'm like, I'm not a huge fan of that, but
who does that? What kind of person wants that?
Nobody. And I can't imagine. I don't understand why the gym tolerated it. I feel like that's a liability to not be wearing closed-toed shoes.
I worked with someone back when we had offices who would take his shoes off at work and just be in his socks, and like I wasn't gonna do that, but I understood. Yeah, you're sitting at this chair all day. Take your shoes off. It's more comfortable. Put them on when you have to go to the bathroom. There are a lot of cases where I understand like wanting to get down to a level of casual, super casual dress in public situations, but I don't understand any benefit to being barefoot in a gym, and I only see danger.
It was bad, but he had like, it was
sorry, I'm really losing it over here.
It was clear that like this was a lifestyle choice for him because the feet were so calloused and leathered. You could see the soles of them cracking. And then there were a couple other people in the gym that were really surprising to me. There was a guy who he was wearing an N95 mask to his credit, but was just hacking the entire time and doing some very dangerous workouts. He was doing like these cleans where like he just, his back was like a candy cane, and then he just lift up the weight and grunt, grunt, grunt. And I was like, oh, that you're going to die. And there were just, it was just this very strange, strange little gym considering there were so few people there. Then I went to another one that was in part of a mall, which obviously should have been a red flag, but it was packed. It was very, very cheap, it turns out. And it took me a while to realize that only about 20% of people were wearing masks. And when I had walked in, no one ever asked me about my vaccination status. So I went to the front desk. I was like, do you guys care if I'm vaccinated or not? And they're like, nah, it's all optional here.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that legal? Where are the police? Yeah. Like, are you allowed to do that?
Right. It's all optional here. And like, but do like the people like that?
And so it became clear to me that if I want to go work out at this gym and actually work and be a member, I will get COVID at this gym. It's just like a guarantee. And so I thought, I don't know if this is the gym for me. And as I'm thinking this woman comes up to me and she says, you play hockey? And I was like, what? And she's pretty and she's like very confident in her approach of me. And she's like, you play hockey? And I was like, no, I mean, I've played it. Obviously I played it, you know, grew up in Colorado.
Yeah.
And what am I
gonna,
she was like,
lady, look at me. What am I going to do? Sit around with this all day? I'm not going to waste this.
She goes, I could have sworn you have a hockey build. And I was like, this woman is saying all the right things.
Yeah.
A hockey build. I don't even know what that means, but it's athletic, it sounds like, and I'll take it. And then it becomes clear to me that she's offering a hockey class and it's not at the gym. It's some other place where they're like some third place where you can go and you can do ice skating there and you can learn hockey. And I'm not even 100% sure it was ice skating. It might've even just been like dry, like roller hockey, which is even more humiliating, but she was offering basically like, she was offering a class to me. And I was like, I'd never been so high and then fallen so low. There was a moment there where I was like, maybe this is the gym for me. Get mistaken for a hockey player here.
You know, this is, can I interrupt to bring up like a a memory that is rushing back to me right now.
Of course.
It's something that I haven't thought about in years and years and years, just because you were talking about, like, a hockey player's build.
Yeah.
Because it like, truly, like, awakened something inside of me. So I'm in college, and I have a friend that I go to college with that I went to high school with, this woman, Samantha, who's great. Like, one of the sweetest people in the world. I was really glad that we got to know each other better in college. As I was in college, I was also a bartender at a Ruby Tuesday attached to a hotel. And I made a friend who was another bartender there, this guy Ben, who also went to the school, but our paths almost never crossed at the school. I knew Ben in the context of, like, we worked together, and I loved working with Ben. When the two of us were behind the bar, I was thrilled. We got along. We liked a lot of the same music. We were telling each other jokes, and he was, like, a very good worker, and I was a good worker. It's like, great, Ben is awesome. One day, I am with Samantha in one of the libraries at Rutgers, and we see Ben, and I'm like, Ben, oh my god, these two worlds colliding. Ben, come talk to me and Samantha. Meet Samantha. And he was asking Samantha questions about herself, and she was talking about how she was just going to go to figure skating club? Rehearsal? Workout? Where you go and you figure skate for an amount of time on purpose. And he was like, ah, love figure skaters. They always have such high and tight asses.
Oh,
I was like, oh no, Ben sucks. I didn't know because we were in a professional context all this time. I can't have Ben around my friends. It was just a strange memory to come rushing back to me that I had to, like, look at Samantha and be like, this isn't... I'm just as shocked as you are that Ben's talking about asses around you. About your ass right now. Ben is flirting with you, and this is how he thinks is the way to do it.
Even someone saying that, has she not even been there? Had she been erased from the situation?
Right.
It's still like a, what the fuck, Ben?
Oh, no.
Okay,
If he had done that at work, I'd have been like, look, we're going to need more lemons for the dinner rush, so you probably should chop those, and I'll be over here on the other side of the bar, drying the same glass performatively for about 45 minutes.
But to say that in front of an actual figure skater is just... humiliating for everyone.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know enough to know that it's humiliating.
No.
Oh, that's rough.
And poor Samantha, bless her heart, is probably thinking, like, well, at some point I'm gonna have to walk away.
No, she's thinking,
and
in
I
her
know
mind,
what they're gonna look at. Or I know what at least Ben is gonna look at.
I'm sure her first thought was, oh no, Dan sucks. Oh no, look at the people he hangs out with.
He hardly ever talked about asses in high school. He saw Ben and was like, oh good, Ben's here. You should meet Ben. Dan sucks.
Maybe it's because I only knew him in a scholastic capacity. Oh, that sucks bad. I love talking about the gym, and I think that we're going to do it a lot more, but I do have a quick question that is so far afield from that. There's no segue possible. So let me ask you, Dan. Let's say someday that you're famous, right? You're like big time famous.
Okay.
I want to know who the person is in your past with an outsized opinion on their influence in that success. Like somebody in your past who was like, at some point along the way, they were like, I taught him everything he knows. They're going to be the person sitting in a bar, seeing you on television and being like, senior editor rolls up on Last Week Tonight because for some reason they're watching it at the bar. And this person's like, looks up from his dreams like, that guy. I taught him everything he knows. And it's just somebody who you kind of like politely tolerated for a while as long as you knew them. And then you just moved on.
Yeah.
And
it's got, for me, it's a tie between either Nadia, this woman who taught me medicine balls, taught me everything I know about medicine balls, how to slam them, how to jump.
And who else?
Sincerely, I probably think like an old... drama teacher, just because there's like a lot of people have emotional connections to drama teacher because high school and local theater is a cult. It's a terrible dangerous cult, and all of my experiences were no exception, with like plenty of drama teachers and directors in my rear view who I'm sure will cling to any any former student who is succeeding in any field, even if I'm not doing anything with performing, I sometimes think about old directors or teachers who will do exactly what you're saying and like point at the Emmys or any other article or any other success at all and be like, this, I know this one. And this one, we were very close. And like, I was sort of a mentor to this person. Like, I have like vivid daydreams that one of my teachers will be like, yeah, he came to me for acting, and I think I really kind of pushed him more towards writing, and ultimately.
It's very funny that you say that, Dan, because I had my answer that's locked and loaded is almost identical. It was like a teacher. It was a drama teacher that did cold auditions to like see what sort of talent he was working with the new students as they came in.
Fucking and, cult shit.
And you could, yeah. So you're supposed to come in there with a monologue that you had pre-prepared. And do it. And then at the end, he could be like, all right, so these are the ones I got to mold. And he didn't talk like that. But I came in with something that I had written and I did it. And at the end, he was like, or not even at the end, he stopped me. And he's like, what is this? And I was like, I wrote it. And he's like, as a play? And I was like, no, it's just a monologue. And he was like, what are you acting for? You should be writing. And I was like deeply hurt in the moment because I had just been like performing my heart out.
Right.
And this person was like, this isn't what you should be doing. Have you considered a different career? I've only seen it for 30 seconds, but let me stop you right there. This is not it, my son. And from like that point forward, it was just like locked in his head where like we'd be doing a show and he'd be like, he would bring that up. He'd be like, it was good. It was a really good performance. I gotta say though, man, are you writing still, right? You should be writing instead. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess so. And I'm confident that like, if I ever like had any sort of modicum of success and he found out about it, he'd be like, I sent him on that path. I'm the one who put him there. And it pisses me off that he thinks he's done that for me. Instead, it was just this dude insulting me where I was like, I'm allowed to do two things, motherfucker. Yeah. Guess what? I do like seven others too. It's okay. It's okay to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It's also like not an easy place to defend yourself where it's like, well, let me finish the monologue because the acting gets really good. And jokes on you, the writing takes a turn and gets worse. I didn't stick the landing, but I cry.
You're going to hate the end. It's trite. It's so cloying. It's offensive. Anyway, I had one also locked and loaded for you.
Okay. And I might somebody, know.
Do you? Okay. I wonder if it's fun for people, for you to guess, because no one's going to know who these people are anyway.
If I'm right and I say his name, it won't matter to anyone. But I'll just like, I will tell you if I'm right.
Okay. So when we worked at Cracked, it had a parent company.
I'm fucking right.
and the parent company had like these heads, the big wigs at the top who were like running things. And, you know, there's a CEO, but there was also like these guys who were just on his bus, like these guys who got in early with him and they were kind of spearheading every single department and being like, okay, you're going to be doing this from now on. You're going to be doing this. And they didn't ever know what to do with Cracked. Cracked was such like a black sheep there because it didn't go with their general internet plans. And they didn't understand it. They didn't know what to do, but it was still like doing well. And they had a clear, cool audience. And they were just sort of like, well, we'll just let it run, I guess. Except for this one guy who was like, he definitely credits himself with creating After Hours, which is a show that you and I used to do. And Michael Swaim and Katie Willard, this show that Jack and Dan created that it's a couple, it's four friends sitting in a diner and it's after work. It's just these friends who can't turn off their brains and are just deconstructing pop culture. It's the thing that we were most known for at Cracked. It was like this flagship video series, probably more famous than our columns. Like anything else we did, After Hours will be the thing that will be like our legacy at Cracked.
Sorry, and when I traveled around Europe and got recognized all over that side of the planet, it was people who were like, we are fans of your YouTube channel.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're a YouTube guy. You're a YouTube. They don't know cracked even necessarily. They just saw you on YouTube.
And I was like, look, I know that this is Amsterdam, but where I come from, that's deeply insulting. How dare you? YouTuber means something different in America, yeah. And it's horrible.
I saw you on YouTube. You should be a writer. Ouch. My heart. So this guy, which is also very funny because you and him shared a nickname, which was Dragon.
Yes.
But he, to this day, believes that he invented After Hours. Like yeah. It was his idea that he came to us, like it was fully formed in his brain and he just gifted it to us. And then it became this huge, he planted the seed, he watered it, and it became this huge success. And it was like, I grew this thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think he ever realized how much work went into it, what we actually had to do, and that none of it was his idea.
No. And like, I don't need to rehash it now, but I can like point to every step of the creation of this show because I was there for all of it. And I remember how it happened and like the false starts of it and
yeah,
who was responsible, like whether it's stuff that, like a lot of the Back to the Future stuff in the first episode, that conversation was born out of an editorial meeting with that Jack was there, Jason was there, I was there, I think you were there. And yeah. Then really like the, what became the show was us in Jack's aunt's pool house.
Yes. When Jack wasn't even living here.
No.
Jack lived in New York and he came to visit and he lived in his aunt's pool house for a little bit.
And then we hang out and like drank juice and ate pizza and talked about what we wanted this show to be for hours and came up with it there, really like sanded it down there. All of which is to say, this other lesser dragon wasn't around for any of it.
No.
And I think his sole contribution was very casually at one point saying, have you seen the movie Diner? You guys should do something like that.
My recollection of it was that he was like, I like Seinfeld. My favorite parts of Seinfeld are like when they're just sitting there. They're sitting there at that restaurant.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay. Well, let's do that. Let's just do Seinfeld.
Yeah, and here's the really, here's where being a soft little simp like me backfires, because when I'm 23 and there's this rich CFO or whatever his title at the company was, and he jokingly wants to take credit for the show, simp that I am is like, ha, yeah, you're the man, Diner! Pah! What a good idea.
Yeah, well, that was because you don't know what can get you fired when you're that right. age. So you're just like, you give them anything that they want. And
right, he's going to say those things. And at the time, I can't be like, ha ha. Well, you know, we'll let the Writers Guild decide, because they actually have like, they have lawyers that figure out who created these things. And like, luckily, you and I don't have to hash it out. We can just like bring the scripts to the lawyers and they will assign and arbitrate credit
right.
fairly.
So I could foresee a time when you like you're running your own show and he and like your name's out there, it's showing up on Deadline and stuff like that. And he's looking at it and he's being like, you know, I gave this guy his start. And I just know, like, I know in my heart that's happening.
That's 100% happening. And you're also just bringing up memories of these there, because there were so many adult rich VPs and senior VPs like him at that company. And I met with all of them individually. I'm sure you did too, but I would always have meetings with them whenever Cracked was doing well. And they would be like, how do you do it? How do you guys do it? And I was like, well, it would be sexy for me to say it was magic and like my raw talents. But like, the truth is we got a bunch of people working very hard. And we spend time on every piece that we write, and we pay our writers fairly, and there's no real substitute for that. And they're like, nah, never mind. Because they always want to know, like, how do you do this at scale? And you can't do it well and do it at scale.
No, it's like we have a core of like six editors who work 40 hours a week stressing about their job and agonizing over a piece that doesn't even have their name on it.
Right.
And that's how we make really good content. And
yeah, like, hey, the site's doing well. How did you guys do that? Well, we've got a lot of people who worry that if the site fails, they'll die. So that's a good motivator. I've found it to be a good motivator for people who are willing to destroy their personal relationships in the pursuit of internet immortality.
To literally go blind. And when we're that age, like, you didn't know, it's your first business that you're really working at, where there's like a clear hierarchy of positions, and you don't know what's acceptable behavior and what's not, or like what people are supposed to be like at the top. And we had like a really rare, weird Silicon Beach group of dudes at the top of this company who are all like very bro-y and very eager to tell you the famous people that they're hanging out with and stuff like that. And it was, at the time, I was just like, I guess it's just what it's like to be 36. Yeah. Not knowing that that's not life.
Yeah. I wonder how many people realize that, like, I don't know if it's still happening, but certainly for so long, startup culture, they were people who their job, for all intents and purposes, was to be one of these early investors for a startup company that was just around and maybe put in some money early on, or maybe was just like a board member or a figurehead who really just existed to like attract talent or give the appearance of success. And then if the company does well, the company goes public and those people have a lot of shares in the company. They vest those shares. They get a lot of money. They cash out and they just bounce and do it again. I didn't realize that was like, that was a career path where it was just like, yeah, I'm at Demand Media now. And then once we go public, I will be very rich. So I will leave because like, I don't actually do anything.
Yeah.
If we go public, I don't like, my job is to, make us a profitable enough company to go public, and then I go away and do it again somewhere else.
It was very clear to me, or it wasn't at the time. It's very clear to me now, like what the game was, that you build this thing and you build it so big and fast that no one can see that it's, the trajectory can't last, and then you get out from under it before it all comes down. There's a card game that you can play. I don't know if you ever played this. It was you put a beer bottle on a table and you put one playing card on it. And then you continually put playing cards on it. And each card has to be at two edges, at least have to be exposed. And so what you end up building is this umbrella of cards on a beer bottle that all kind of rely on each other's weight. And eventually the whole thing comes toppling down. And like, that's what these guys bounce around building those everywhere. And they don't care. Like at the time we were editors at these websites. And I worked for another website for them that I cared about because it was about the outdoors. And I was like trying to tell them, I was like, we're pumping out a lot of content, but this is, I don't stand by some of this stuff. Like there's way too much to edit all of it. We're getting in tens of thousands of pieces a day and we're just putting them up on the website. And they're like, yes, please don't stop. I was like, but it's that we're devaluing the site. Like that doesn't, anyone who's like, anyone who in this field, if they even read one of these articles, they will never come back to our site. And they're like, that's not who we're getting. We're getting everybody who's coming to this because they type something into Google. Yeah. And like, that's all they wanted. They wanted somebody who was going to come once, not even realize what site they were on and then leave. And that's all they cared about. And as long as they were capturing that traffic, that's all that mattered. And it was not like sustainable by any means. And then of course the whole thing collapsed, but these guys all got out before that happened.
Yeah. It's crazy so many of these startups, certainly in our age, were just like sophisticated seeming scams. Yeah. They you know, it's dressed up with like a bunch of buzzy tech terminology and flashy perks. We're at this company where it's like, it's Margarita Thursdays and like our company fucking rocks. We're on all these lists for the best companies to work for. But it's like, it's a shell game for a couple of people at the top. And that's it.
Yeah. There was,
I mean, it's also where dreams come true.
A real low moment was where one of our bosses announced on an all hands call, today is how many articles we publish every day across all of the sites. Like that was a big deal, that metric. And he was like, today in 1 week, we publish more words than there are in Crime and Punishment. And I was like, that is a bad metric. Oh, no. That is not indicative of anything. What are we doing? All right. Well, I might as well tell everybody how they can find us. If you go to Twitter, twitter.com, you can find Daniel and me. You can find me at Soren_LTD. You can find Daniel at DOB_INC. You can also find Quick Question at QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. You can also find, I should actually put it out there. So Bacon is our CFO, and you can go to Make Me Bacon, Please. That's his Twitter address, PLS. And you just wish him congratulations.
Yeah.
Apropos of nothing, just wish him a congratulations. I'm sure it will be well received. Mm-hmm. You can also, you won't ever find Gabe Harder, so I'm not going to give you any of his information, but he's our producer and sound engineer and editor. And you can find us on Patreon/QuickQuestion if you were so inclined to give us money or write us a question. And you, we will answer a lot of those questions on our behind our subscription wall. I don't totally know how it works. You pay a bunch of money and a bunch of money. You pay a small amount of money and then you get a small amount of content from us that no one else gets to hear. Okay, bye.
Bye.